Absolutely everyone, welcome to the Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bosco, and in this episode we are gonna continue our discussion on how we can have more mature friendships. So over the last two episodes we've been looking at the invincible bars of friendship. We've talked about how we accidentally put words in our friends' mouths and how to set boundaries when things get a bit too much. But today we are stepping into a space that is, well, honestly, a lot more awkward. It's that gringy, heavy, elephant in the room feeling when you realize you and a friend aren't on the same page anymore. Now, I call this the growth gap. It's that moment where you look at someone you've known for years, maybe your best friend from high school, a college roommate, or the person you used to vent to every day at your previous job. And you realize that while you've been moving in one direction, they've stayed exactly where you left them. And suddenly, the glue that held the friendship together just isn't working anymore. Let's start with the first big sign of the growth gap. And that is the time machine. Have you ever grabbed coffee with a friend and you haven't been seeing in a while, and within 5 minutes you realize they only want to talk about 2015? They want to talk about the people you used to date, the parties you used to go to, or that one embarrassing thing you did years ago. At first, it's fun. Okay, it's fine. It's nostalgic. But then an hour goes by, then two, and you realize they haven't asked you a single question about your current life. They don't know about your new job. They don't know that you have started meditation or that you are trying out a new hobby, or that you're finally over that toxic ex that you have. To them, you are a character in the movie that stopped filming a decade ago. Honestly, it's exhausting, isn't it? It's like trying to fit into a pair of jeans you wore in the middle of high school. You can tuck, you can pull all you want, but they don't fit. You've grown. Your hips are wider, and spiritually speaking, your perspective has changed. When a friend refuses to see the new you, it's often because they are comfortable with the old you. The old you was predictable. The old you shared their same complaints and their habits. When you show up as a different version of yourself, it forces them to look at themselves, and that can be really uncomfortable for them because they can realize that they haven't grown. So let's try to pull you back into the time machine. They say things like, "Remember when you used to be fun?" Or, you've changed. You used to be down for anything. If you feel like you've have to perform your old self just to make a friend happy, that is a massive red flag about the growth gap that is widening. The second sign is a more physical sign. I call it that uncomfortable feeling in your stomach. I want you to really be honest with yourself for just a second. Think about that friend. You know the one. Now imagine your phone is sitting on a table in front of you. It vibrates. You see their name pop up with a text or a call. What is the first sensation in your body? Is it a yay? Yes, I'm looking forward to talk to this person, or is it more about, oh, okay, cool, they're phoning me, cool. Or is it, is it a tightening in your chest? Is it a heavy sigh? Do you immediately flip the phone face down and think, I'll deal with that later? Then later becomes 3 days later. We often feel guilty about that uncomfortable feeling. We tell ourselves, but they're a good person. We've been friends forever. Or they were there for me when my cat died. But your body doesn't lie. Your brain might be trying to justify the friendship based on history, but your nervous system is telling you that the present day version of the relationship is draining you. Maybe every time they call, it's a 40-minute vent session where they never take a breath. Maybe they only reach out when they need a favor. Or maybe, quite simply, you just don't have anything in common anymore. When you've done the work to find a balanced mind within yourself, when you've started to value your peace and your time, that uncomfortable feeling becomes a lot louder. It's your intuition telling you that the cost of admission for this friendship is becoming too high. This is the one that hurts the most. And that is, you have changed. Because it's when your growth is seen as an attack, a threat. Let's say you've spent the last 6 months working on yourself. Maybe you're setting better boundaries, or you're being more positive, or you've decided to stop gossiping. Then you hang out with your old group of friends. They start talking nonsense about someone. And for the first time, you didn't join in. You just sit there. Or maybe you say, yeah, I don't really want to talk about them like that. The room goes silent immediately. Some unroll their eyes, then comes the line. Oh man, you've changed. You're so serious now. But here's the truth. Yes, you've changed. It is actually a compliment disguised as a criticism. When people say you've changed, what they really mean is, I can't use you the way I used to. If your friendship was built on a foundation of shared misery, if you were only friends because you both hated your lives or both like to complain, then the moment you stop being miserable, the friendship loses its purpose because you are growing. It feels like an accusation. It feels like you're being difficult, but really, you're just growing. And it's important to realize that you aren't leaving them behind on purpose. You are simply moving forward, so they choose to stand still, and distance between you, between the two of you, isn't your fault. It is just simply mathematics. So why did I decide to have a whole episode on this? Because if you don't acknowledge the growth gap, you end up feeling resentful. You start to feel like a bad friend because you don't want to hang out with them anymore. Or you feel like a fake person because you're pretending to be the old version of yourself just to keep the peace. Well, in the next segment, we are going to stop pretending. We're going to look at the psychology of why this happens. But more importantly, we're going to talk about how to handle it without feeling like a jerk. Because you can grow without being mean, and you can move on without erasing the history of the friendship. But the first thing is, you have to admit that things are different. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short music break right now, and we'll be back to continue on this topic. See you just now. So we identified that heavy feeling in the pit of your stomach. We found that awkwardness when we realized that we're stuck in a time machine with a friend who doesn't really see us anymore. But now we have to ask that hard question, and that is why. Why is it so painful when a friendship hits a growth gap? Why does it feel like a breakup, even if there is no cheating or big blow-up fight? And why, if we're supposed to love our friends, does it sometimes feel like they are actively trying to stop us from becoming better people? To understand this, we have to look at the hidden framework of our friendships. You see, every single friendship you have is based on an unspoken contract. When you first meet someone and click, you aren't just saying, I like your shoes or you're funny. Subconsciously, you are signing a contract deal. The deal usually sounds something like this. I will be the funny one, and you will be the one who laughs at my jokes. We will both agree that our hometowns are boring, and we need to get out. or we both choose to stay single so we can go out every Saturday night and have fun. Or something like, we will both complain about our family for exactly 20 minutes every time we talk. These contracts are great. They give the friendship some structure. They make us feel safe because we know exactly what is expected of us. But here's the problem. People change, but contracts don't get updated automatically. When you start the work, when you start to go for therapy, when you start a new career, or decide to get sober, or even just to start liking yourself a little more, you are essentially ripping up that old contract without telling the other person. Imagine you are in a band for 5 years. You've been the drummer and your friend has been the lead singer. One day you walk into rehearsal and you say, "Actually, you know what, I don't want to play the drums anymore. I want to play the flute." The lead singer is going to be confused, frustrated, and maybe even get angry. Not because the flute is bad, but because the band doesn't work the way it used to. It doesn't gel. When you grow, you change the sound of the friendship, and if your friend's entire identity is tied to being you being the drummer, they're going to fight to keep you behind the drum kit. They aren't being mean. They're just trying to keep the band together because that is what they know and what they are comfortable with. So this brings us to one of the most uncomfortable parts of the growth gap, and that is the mirror effect. Have you ever noticed that when you start doing something good for yourself, like waking up early in the morning for exercise, or setting a boundary with your family, some friends get weirdly snarky about it. They say something like, "Oh, look at you, Mr. Healthy," or "You become so zen lately." It's kind of annoying. It feels like they are judging you, but actually, they are judging themselves. When you grow, you inadvertently hold up a mirror to the people around you. If you and your friend have both been stuck in the same place for years, it feels okay, but you're in the trenches together. But the moment you climb out of the trench and you start walking toward the sunshine, the friend who is still in the trench has to face a painful reality. The trench is optional, not compulsory. If you can change, it means they can change too. And the change is terrifying. It's much easier for them to pull you back down into the mud with a sarcastic comment than it is for them to work to help themselves out of the trench. Your growth highlights their stagnation. The better you makes their same old them feel small. Understanding this is key to finding balance, because it helps you realize that their reaction isn't actually about you. It's about their own fear of being left behind. Now think of a friendship like a long distance walk, hike. In the beginning, you and your friend are walking side by side. You're looking at the same trees, breathing the same air, talking about the same things, so you're in sync with one another. But as the trial goes on, your basis might change. Maybe you've been training. Maybe you've got a lighter backpack. You start walking a little bit faster. You're excited to see what's over the next hill. You look back and your friend is hundreds of kilometers behind you. They're taking a break. They're looking at the bushes. At first you wait. You sit on a rock and you let them catch up. You talk for a bit when you start moving again. But soon that gap opens again. Now you have a choice. Do you slow your pace down? Essentially walking at the speed that feels frustrating and unnatural to you. Then, or do you walk beside them? You do what was natural to you to keep the pace. But then after a while, you see things are not comfortable. A lot of us choose to slow down. We dim our light. We hide our wins. We pretend we aren't as happy or as motivated as we actually are because we don't want our friend to feel left behind. But here's the balanced mind truth. You cannot set your pace based on someone else's legs. You cannot set your pace based on someone else's legs. If you force yourself to walk slower, then your soul wants to move. You will eventually start to resent the person you're waiting for. And resentment is the fastest way to kill a friendship. Finally, we have to talk about the G word, and that is grief. We usually think that grief is something that happens when someone dies, but we also experience identity grief when a friendship changes. Even if you know you're better off now, even if you're happier, healthier, and more aligned, there is a part of you that misses the friendship. You miss the version of you that could sit on the floor and gossip for hours. You miss the version of you that didn't care about the boundaries, or any missed that part where you just went with the flow. And your friend is grieving too. Important to remember. They are grieving the person you used to be, the person who was easier to deal with. Sometimes the growth gap feels so painful because both people are standing on the opposite sides of a canyon, mourning the bridge that used to be between them or what linked them. It's important to give yourself permission to be sad about the friendship that has changed. You can be proud of your growth and sad about the distance you created at the same time. Those two feelings can live in the same moment. So we have spoken about the unspoken contracts, the mirror effect, and the pacing problem, and grief. The question is now, once you realize that the gap is there, what do you do? Do you close the gap by shrinking yourself, or do you yell across the canyon and hope they can hear you? Or do you just keep on walking? In the next segment, we're going to get practical. We're going to talk about that tool belt, the toolkit, the actual words and actions you can use to navigate this without losing your mind or heart. Okay, so we have done the heavy lifting. We know why the gap exists and why it feels like your friend is holding up a stop sign while you're running a marathon or trying to run a marathon. But balanced mind listeners aren't just here to understand the problem. We are here to handle it with grace. You don't want to be the person who just disappears and leave people wondering what happened. But you also can't keep pretending to be someone you're not. So how do we build the bridge over this gap? Or, if the gap is too wide, how do we walk away without burning the bridge down? So here are four tools for your friendship toolkit. Before you decide the friendship is over, you have to give it a chance to survive in your new world. I call this the invitation strategy. Instead of pulling away because your friend loves to gossip and you decided to stop, try inviting them into your new boundary. Most of the time, we just stop calling because we assume they won't get it. But give them a choice first. You know, say something like, "Hey, I realize lately that I'm talking about old drama or the toxic ex or work gossip. It really drains my battery. I'm trying to focus on more positive things. So can we talk about a new hobby? Can we talk about a topic or future plans instead?" And here's why something like this works. You aren't judging them. You aren't saying you're a gossip. You're saying something in the line of, "You know what, my battery is low and I'm changing the way I charge it." If they say, "Oh, for sure, you know, don't worry about it," then you've updated that unspoken contract of your friendship. If they roll their eyes and keep on gossiping, well, then you have your answer. You've offered the invitation and they declined it. Now you can move forward without feeling guilty. Secondly, you can put in a micro boundary. Sometimes you don't need to break up with a friend. You just need to change the way you hang out. If you've outgrown the vibe, like we talked about in segment one, stop trying to force the old vibe. If you spend every Friday night at the loud bar, but now that makes you want to crawl into a hole, don't say no to the bar. Suggest something different. Suggest a different place where the friendship can still continue. And here's a strategy. You switch from a low connection activity like drinking, watching TV and gossiping to a high connection activity like walking, grabbing a coffee or a 20-minute phone call. It's more active, it is positive, and that gives us high connection value. If you only see that friend for 30 minutes on a Tuesday morning, you might find that you actually still like them. But by shrinking the amount of time and changing the setting, you remove the pressure to being the old self for 5 hours straight. You're actually setting a micro boundary that protects your peace while keeping the connection alive. Thirdly, we have 3 questions that we can ask. A stay or go type test. If you're really struggling to know if a friendship is worth the effort, I want you to sit down with a journal and ask these 3 questions, and you need to be brutally honest with yourself. First question, does the person love the new version of me that exists today? Or are they constantly trying to fix me or pull me back to the 2015 version? After they hang out, I do feel like I need a nap. Or do I feel like I can take on the world? Remember that feeling in the pit of your stomach? That heavy feeling? This is where the question and the feeling come together. If we met for the first time today, third question. If we met for the first time today, would I actually want to be friends with them? If the answer to all 3 questions is no, then you aren't dealing with a growth gap anymore. You are dealing with an expired friendship. And that's okay. Guys, seasons don't last the whole year. They also expire, and so does friendships. Recognizing it is the first step to letting go without feeling guilty. And then, fourthly, what to say when they notice that we have changed. Eventually, your friend is going to notice something's different. They might say, you know, you're different, or we don't used to hang out like we used to. And the balanced mind approach is to be honest without being a jerk. It's about something we spoke about in every episode, and that is emotional maturity. You don't need to give a long speech about your personal evolution. Keep it simple. Focus on you, not them. Something like, you know what, you're right. I've been different lately. I've been focusing on my work, my health, on my hobby or family, and I've realized I don't have the same social energy I used to. I still care about you, but I'm just moving at a different pace. And why this works? You aren't saying you're stagnant. You're saying I'm moving at a different pace. It takes the blame off the table and replaces it with a simple statement of fact. It gives the why without making them the villain. So, using these tools and questions feels scary because it requires us to be vulnerable. It's much easier to just stop texting or to keep pretending to be our old selves. But remember, real friendship can survive the truth. And if a friendship can't survive you being your honest, growing self, then it wasn't a friendship that was going to help you to stay balanced anyway. So coming up next, we are wrapping up the mindful minute. And I'm going to give you a mantra to try or to carry with you the week as you navigate through these tricky waters. So we've covered a lot today. We looked at the awkwardness of the time machine, the hidden contracts we sign with our friends, and the tools we need to handle the distance when one person grows and the other one stays put. But before we go, I want to invite you to a mindful minute with me. This is where we let all the talk fade away and we focus on how this actually sits in your heart. In this mindful minute, we're going to talk about a garden metaphor. Close your eyes if you're in a safe space to do so. Take a deep breath in and let it out. I want you to imagine your life is a garden. When you first started this garden, you invited people in. Some brought flowers, some brought seeds, and you all planted them together. It was crowded, messy, and beautiful. But as the seasons change, the garden changes too. Some plants have reached their full height. Some have bloomed and faded. And some have grown so large that they are starting to block the sun for the new things you are trying to grow. Pruning a garden isn't an act of hate. You don't cut the branch because you're angry at it. You prune it because you want the whole tree to live. You move a plant to a different corner of the yard because it needs a different kind of soil. If you feel guilty for outgrowing a friendship, remember this. You are not a statue. You are a living, breathing human being. I want to repeat that again. You are not a statue. You are a living, breathing, emotional person. Living things are supposed to change. If you stay in the exact place, meaning that you are the same person you were 10 years ago, that would be a tragedy. But the fact that some people can't keep up with you and your new pace is not for you to manage, it's for them. As you go about your week and you feel that deep, uncomfortable, pit in the stomach feeling, that heavy feeling, factor or that the growth gap is friction between you and a friend, I want you to repeat the following to yourself. You say to yourself, I am allowed to grow. My growth is not the betrayal of my past. and it is not an attack on yours. I want to repeat that again. I want you to listen very carefully. This is the key thing of growth and how to handle it. It says, I am allowed to grow. My growth is not a betrayal of my past, and it's not an attack on yours. Why not write it down on a sticky note and put it against your mirror? Your evolution is a gift to yourself. You don't owe it to anyone to stay small, just so they don't have to feel uncomfortable. We've spent these last few weeks talking about the invisible strings in our friendships. From the words we put in people's mouths to the boundaries we set to keep ourselves sane. And today, we've acknowledged the harder truth of all. That sometimes the most balanced thing you can do is accept that a friendship has finished its season. If you are feeling the gap today, be kind to yourself. Honor the history you have with a friend. But don't let that history become a cage. You can love someone from a distance while keep walking towards the person you want to be or are becoming. And so, on this journey, next week, we're going to pivot a little bit and look at how these friendship habits show up in our relationship with ourselves. But if you feel you can't really set that boundary with a friend, or you don't know how to, why not contact me and we can build and put a plan together. We can work on your confidence and we can work on how to say what you mean without hurting them or you. Sometimes it really helps if you can just talk to someone about the way you feel and putting it into context. Remember, emotion in oneself doesn't have context. But I can help you to take the emotion and put it into words so that you can understand what is happening and how you need to act on it. If you have a need to speak to someone, please do so, and my door is always open. You can contact me on the Dion Bicycle page on Facebook, or you can email me directly at dionlabu@gmail.com. That is Delta Echo Orange November Lima Alpha Bravo Unit @gmail.com. I'll be happy to help you. Well, this brings us to the end of today's episode. I hope you've learned something new, and I hope that today's episode has encouraged you to take the next step towards a friendship. And I hope that it also encourages you to keep on growing, although your friends feel left behind. Remember, it's not up to you to bring them worth, it's their own choices. But until then, stay curious, stay kind, and keep growing. My name is Dion Bicycle, and this has been The Balanced Mind. Ciao.